First News Smart Talk all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scooch or Scrooge. Telephone numbers tonight on this wonderful station, 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And if you want to look us up on Facebook, you can just look up Guardian Radio and go on the website, and you can listen in. And those who are abroad who like to listen to the show, like I said, you want to text 422-GR96. And if you want to call in, the numbers again are 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. And also, I'm not going live today on Facebook. But next week, I'll be back again live on Facebook. I want to say thanks to all the listeners, and I hope everyone is having a wonderful, wonderful Friday. There's a lot of topics we can talk about today, but we just want to continue a little bit. We talk about some of the initiative and programs and investment the government has by far has done an outstanding job, but we just want to go back just a little bit from last week before we get to our topic. And our topic is going to be talking about, like, you know, 19 clinics to share, $45 million billing program, and et cetera, you know. And we go from there. All right. So where we are tonight, let me see. One of the first things I wanted to discuss is the fact that, you know, our educational system, especially our teachers. There was news circulating, listening to the news, and I listened to my friend C.W. Newry, and he was talking about if the teachers are underpaid. Well, according to a survey, and they're saying that teachers get $28,000 a year. Now, teachers, far as I can say, it's the first line of defense when it comes to education, but also molding the child to be a role model. What I mean role model is the teachers themselves teach the kids at an early age how to be a man and how to be a woman. Teach them also about manners and respect. So teachers take on audit programs. And what I mean audit, they go beyond their work schedule. They put more interest into their work schedule. And hearing that they're getting $28,000 is similar to hearing a politician asking for a pay increase. And we have heard the story about politicians asking to increase the payment of parliamentary, and we have heard former prime ministers elaborate on the matter, and they're stating that, you know, if politicians were paid more, then there would be less corruption. Yeah, and I think if teachers were paid more, and take on some of the responsibilities of the parents that are not frequenting the child life, and teachers take on an extra burden. You know, and when I was in primary school, you know, the teachers take up the extra burden. They cared, they loved the kid, they loved us. You know, we couldn't miss days at school. They gave us lunch. You know, they make sure our shoes were clean. They would always look and see if we were tidy, if our shirt was in our pants, and if the girls' dress were ironed properly, and if our shirt was ironed properly. And if it was not, the teachers them used to bring these type of equipment to school, like iron and et cetera. And they would make sure that we looked presentable in school. You know, they would pick our hair. Sometimes you don't plot the young girls hair. You know, and that's the absentee of the parents. And maybe the kids come from a single parent home. And basically, if you look at the situation in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, most kids who are going to school, you could say roughly about 90% of them, their parents are not married, and their parents are separated from one another. Either they're married or their boyfriend and girlfriend. So basically, you're seeing a single parent, either as a mother or a father. So when these kids leave from home and leave from these communities that are underdeveloped, they're in the hands of trained professionals, and their job is tough. It's risky. If you look at what the teachers have been facing over the last 20, 30 years in school, some are being assaulted, not only from the students, but from the students' parents, okay? You know, and that's how serious it is. Now, we're not saying that, you know, the kids, them were the instigators and all these matters, because it also comes down to the fact that even though the teachers need a pay increase, we also have to watch how the teacher perform in our attitude and our duties, you know, he or she, because you can't be a teacher. But that don't mean that you care about the job or you're concerned about the kids. You're just doing it because it's a 9-to-5, and then every end of the month you get a nice salary. I mean, not a nice salary, a salary. So you're just running it as a profession. And in some cases, some teachers mistreat the kids. But in many instances that we're facing in the country today, the teachers' backs are against the wall in this country. And for them to be receiving $28,000, I think it's a slap in the face for the education us in our country. And I just want to read something real quick. Sorry. I just want to read something real quick. Okay. And why I'm really talking about teachers, we have to find a way on how we can increase the teachers' pay, because if it's $28,000 per year and all of the stress and screen that the teachers got to go through in the primary school sector, the junior high sector, and the senior high sector, based on what they receive from the community, and we're talking about at-risk kids, we're talking about kids who ain't even at risk. Some are not at risk. Some are just rude. Some don't have no manners, you know, because their parents are missing in their life and they don't have no discipline. Either their mother raised them and no father figures around, or no uncle around. Or either the father's raising them and there's no mother figure around and there's no auntie and uncle or godparents around to stir that child in the right direction. So we are facing a lot of dilemma in our country when it comes to our educational system. That's why, just like the police is our number one defense when it comes to protecting the country, all right? The teachers also are number one themselves with teaching all of our kids maths, English, history, geography, and et cetera. And some of these subjects that we're teaching today are necessary, but some needs to be replaced with more technical, programs in school. We're talking anywhere from woodwork, art and craft, sewing, technical courses. We need to add to our school, because many of these at-risk kids that leave these communities, leave these homes in these communities, and go into school. They take that attitude to school. So when the teacher is trying her best to teach, you have some really kids who the teacher would have to speak to not once, not twice, not three times. And then it gets to the point where the teacher gets frustrated and tries to discipline the kid because the kid is back talking the teacher in school. And when the teacher, you know, you lose it, even as a teacher, talking to a kid who is 10 times younger than you, and they want her word for word with you in the, and you are the teacher who's supposed to be teaching them, and they will go word for word with the teacher, and the teacher of the probably try restrain, and then these kids are very, very aggressive. You know, they don't have no anger management problems or programs. So when this teacher tries to gain control of the classroom, and then you have the other kids who are sitting on there who are laughing, you know, laughing at the teacher, laughing with the kids saying to the teacher, and not one of them would say, you know, hey, don't say that to Ms. Smith, you know. It's just like how we see the incident where a young man was knocked down by the Paradise Island Bridge, and many people were just on their phone. And no one even went to try and remove the pedestrian or the road because, you know, they're oncoming traffic. Or just to, I mean, it could have been fast, you know. It might have been something that no one could do nothing, but watching the video, people were standing around on their phone taking a picture of someone who got knocked on the next human being. And we wouldn't even try to pull them on the side of the road, but we standing up with our phones in our hands, people, on Facebook, why someone is injured. And probably we could save his life, but us, have lost our way, you know, and you could see where a next car came. Why is the people there and then roll over the pedestrian again? So he could have lived, maybe he could not live, but look at us. Look at us as what we become to us as a society. You think we getting up like the States? Y'all don't see what happened in the States, eh? There's no coming back for the United States of America. They have had over 250 something mass shooting. People aren't afraid of the police no more. All right? There's racism going on. There's hate going on. There are people who are frustrated and just want to die. You know, if you watch all the footage of what's going on in America right now, you know, no one can beat America. But America will get beat within. All right? Just like I was listening to Miles Monroe. And Miles Monroe said, the great Roman Empire was not defeated by a next country or a next superpower. The great Roman Empire was conquered from within. So that internal fighting, that means the MPs, the senators, and the police commissioner, and the army were fighting against one another. And what was once great now has been destroyed. And America is headed on that path. And the Bahamas is headed on that same path that America is headed on. Because when you lose your values and you have no more self-respect and you don't care about others, you don't care about someone getting hurt on the side of the road, you'd rather stand up with a phone in your hand. So these kids are in school and they're seeing an ex young kid, 10, 12, 13, talking to a grown teacher. And not one of those kids would say, you need to keep him more quiet. Everyone are laughing, and that's our society today. So the teachers are at a disadvantage in this country, and they need a pay increase. And I just want to read something. This is going to be, if I can find it, I should have found it right now. Excuse me. All right. I think it's coming up right now. All right.
Yeah, I teach us our first line of defense.
You know, and we must do our best in every way possible on how we could give them a pay increase. It was $28,000 for education right now. That was like, you could have paid that salary like about 20 years ago. Now a teacher's salary should be anywhere from over $50,000 to $60,000 to $70,000 per year. Honestly speaking, I would say the same thing, but nurses also. You know? I'm trying to find this flick. You know, I have so many stuff in my phone, but I think I get it coming up right now. Okay. Found it. Yeah, and again to the teachers. It's always two sides to the story because you have to deal with excellence. So when you're a teacher, you have to deal with excellence, all right? So even though I want them to have a pay increase, but at the same time, you've got to perform to your best ability as possible. And there's this young man. His name is Marcel T. Sherman. He says, this from the Nassau Guardian 4 days ago. He says, teaching is not a profession, but rather a gift, a vocation. And not everyone who calls himself a teacher is an educator, according to Marcel Sherman. Teaching is more than getting in front of a group of students and saying, open your textbook, he said. They have to be with their students need them to be. So let me just read some more. Let me see where he's coming from. All right. He said, you've got to be a father figure or a mother figure. Yes, that is correct. And these teachers are doing that. But to take on that kind of responsibility, but also take some funding. Because when you're taking on a mother and a father figure in a school, you're taking on the responsibility of their mother and father at home. So kids are in need of tutoring, anger management classes. Some are in need of tennis. Some of them don't have no electricity home. So when we're saying these things, I think Mr. Sherman is correct. You have to be a father or mother figure, but a daddy, an uncle, and a big brother. In addition to, you have to be a counselor because you have to be able to talk to these kids because the kids and students coming out of this home, you know, they need counseling because a lot of them are not being taught what is right or wrong. They have to learn what is right or wrong. And in our curricular system, we need to teach kids what is right and wrong. Because today, based on how we're acting in politics and the religious scene and the policing system, we're seeing corruption at its fullest now being revealed here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So when you're saying be a law-abiding citizen and be good and go to school and learn your ABC and all this crap, right? But are we teaching them what is right from what is wrong? Okay, let me finish reading. He said, teachers should not only be concerned with getting through and preparing students for exams. While going through the exam, preparations are important. He encouraged education to look at the child first. Once you get the child, remember that the child is a person in front of you. Then the lesson will come. And that is what has governed me over the years, said Sherman, who retired after four decades in the educational system. As far as legacy, Sherman said he wants to be remembered as a man who hopefully made a difference. This from someone who said he did not factor going into teaching as a profession and who owns up to not having been the best student during his formative years. He gave credit to the late Patricia Coakley for pampering his interest in education when he had not been given when he had not given it a thought. After I graduated high school, I went to work in the original Prince George Hotel on Bay Street, and she, Coakley, saw me, she said, and we had a conversation, and I said, yes, and she said, are you still interested in being a teacher? And I said, why not? Now, Patricia Coakley, if this is correct, yeah, I think I know it. I heard the name before. All right. Sherman commenced his employment with the Catholic Board of Education, the GBE, as a teacher's aide at St. Francis School. He said it was the principal he served under at that time who encouraged him to pursue tantric studies at the then College of the Bahamas, now University of the Bahamas, where he obtained an associate degree before a bachelor's degree at St. John's University in New York. All right. Sherman says he finds it interesting that he ended up as an educator because his original plan was to either be a priesthood and was very carefully, prayerfully considered and consolidated with the late Pastor Preston Moss. Okay. So we're hearing a former educator, did 40 years in the educational field. And he is saying that, you know, be what your students need you to be. It's tough for teachers to be what your students need you to be. Because, like I said, it still would come to tutoring, anger management, counseling, and et cetera. But it will come down to the teacher's personal funds. Because like I said, kids are in need of everyday supply. Some may not have no grocery at home. Some may not have proper clothing or footwear, you know, or proper uniform. And I can remember back in T.A. Thompson, we had some great teachers there, you know, and they would do all they can to go all out for their students. If we didn't have no tennis or shoes, they would provide it some way, somehow, and they would do it with their paycheck. So I think that the teachers need a pay increase in this country. And I think that, you know, they also have to be professional and concerned about their duties as a teacher, because it's a great responsibility that you're inheriting. Some of these students that these teachers inherit, some goes on to be politicians and prime ministers and doctors and lawyers and entrepreneurs. You know, whatever you could name in the country comes to the hand of a teacher in the private sector or in public. Because if you look at it, how many students do you think pass through a teacher in the primary school sector as a primary school teacher? Thousands pass through the teacher's hands. All right? So sometimes the teachers can't remember how many students pass through their hands, and they are guardians, but they also need to be taken care of them. They also need to be taken care of themselves. So I would say a pay increase also for the teachers. And like I said, I think teachers now are in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you know. Many teachers are also leaving the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and going abroad because, you know, they'd be getting anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 or even more than that, you know. And we in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we are one of the richest Caribbean-speaking country in the world. And I don't see why, you know, we're underpaid. I don't see why the politicians are underpaid. I mean, I can see why the politicians are underpaid, but we see how they make up for it. And one, a prime example, he's innocent until proven guilty, Agent Gibson. But based on the news that had been circulating, you could see he was spending. He was spending. He was buying cars over $1 million, this, that, and this. So we could see why, you know, they are underpaid. but they find ways on how to enrich themselves. But the teachers can do the same thing, just as well as the nurses. I would also like to encourage a pay increase for the nurses also. And it also goes to them and their performance, you know. I can understand the nurses themselves, you know, exhausted, you know, dealing with hundreds of people every day. So many people coming with so many different diagnostics. You know, some people come with cancer. Some people come with migraine headache. Some people come up with stomach cramps, COVID-19, cancer, AIDS, whatever you can imagine nurses have to deal with at the public hospital. And it's time consuming. And if you're not getting the right paycheck, you're seeing a volume of people, and then you as a nurse has all type of bills, you know. I don't really know how much nurses get paid. I supposed to check on it before I came in studios, but I was so busy doing some projects and working on my restaurant, trying to finish that before the year end, so I could really start to have some income coming in for myself, you know. So I really don't know how much nurses make, but I think they too are underpaid, and I think you should get paid by your works. So even I'm advocating for pay increase for the teachers and nurses, I would say that you have to be professional. You know, you can't be a nurse sitting on at the desk in the Princess Margaret Hospital doing your nails and putting on all your makeup. You know, you look so beautiful. You need to be in a beauty pageant. You know, you're supposed to be a nurse. You know, you're sitting on the table, you get these long nails, you're doing your nails while people are asking you a question, or you're putting on your makeup, you know, and all that stuff. It's nothing wrong with looking beautiful, okay, and looking nice, and you're nice and clean. But you are a public servant, and what that means is this. Public servants work for the public because the public pays them. How we pay the police, how we pay the defense force, how we pay the politicians, taxes, light bill, your car insurance, your car license, your water bill, your P.O. box, and traffic tickets. So when you see the police pulling you over and giving you traffic tickets and violation, that money that is collected, that goes to the treasury, goes to pay the essential workers, the government employees. And their job is to serve the general public. And that's the voters. That's us. So we're different. Okay, that's why you're listening around COVID-19, you're your essential workers. They are government employees, whether you're police, defense force, doctors, nurses, prison officers, immigration officers, custom officers. They're essential workers, and we pay their taxes. Okay, so they're different from me and you. See, we need to understand how our country is run. You know, we pay the taxes. All of them pay taxes also, but we pay taxes. And our taxes buys the police cars. Our taxes buys the ambulance. Our taxes buy the government cars, right? So you serve the public. So when you're serving the public and you get incentive, because there's health care provided for government essential workers. You know, they get the best health care and et cetera. They get loans from the bank for houses and cars and et cetera. Me and you are citizens, taxpayers. We don't get that if we're not an essential worker. So all in all is that you have to perform as a public servant. Your job is to serve the human people. And while you're serving, I would also like to say this to the general public. You know, because many of us, we kind of rude. You know, we insult the essential workers. We insult the teachers. We insult the nurses. Okay, when we go to this establishment. You know, so we ourselves have to be more respectful for us. Okay, because the enormous occasion where we see patients who, without old boys, with the nurses at the Princess Margaret Hospital, you know, cursing and carrying on, and police have to be calling. And then if you go by the Princess Margaret Hospital, you'd see they have a sign, no verbal abuse will be allowed in the Princess Margaret Hospital. So it goes to show you it's a vice versa situation in our country. Okay? So you and us. And you should be careful, you know, how we talk to nurses and doctors. Because someone once said that, how stupid could you be? You say, you go into a restaurant, okay? And you're ordering food. And you ask the cook to put some mayonnaise or et cetera on it, or some onions. And when you go home or whatever the situation is, even though it's petty, you open your gong snack and you look and you see no onion or mayonnaise on it. Child, I came back there now. And I can tell him about the hip. So on your way home, you know. And you could go in the fridge and get a little bit of mayonnaise or cut some onion, but just us. You know, we just look for the pettiest things to complain about. I mean, make irrational decision, which sometimes costs you. So you go back and you care on dad bad. Oh, I tell you this. I tell you, put mayonnaise on it. And, you know, this is uncalled for, you know. There are more bigger things in life going on right now to worry about this kind of stuff. I just give them a prime example. So you do this to the cook. You're doing it to the cook, you know. And you're so stupid, you go right back to this restaurant. So you know what the cook can say? He or she is going to keep their mouth quiet. And they're going to have the last laugh. They're going to wait for you. If they're a wicked person and a spiteful cook, they'd wait for you to come back there and say, let me know when he or she there. And you don't know what them people are putting in your food. And to you, it might have been the best tasting food ever. But you don't know what they put in the food. So that's why when I talk about, we don't think sometimes. Yeah. Okay, so yes, our teachers should get our pay increase in the country. I think our nurses should get a pay increase in the country too. I think the government is talking about minimum wage. I think minimum wage is $2.10. And they're trying on this side, I think, on raising it. And if you ask me, I listened to Mr. Nuri a few weeks ago. And, you know, if you ask me what I think minimum wage should be in the country, honestly, I think anywhere from, it's $2.10 now, or $2.20, or whatever the situation is, you know, they're not going to carry it up over $100, so we could forget about that. But to me, I think minimum wage in the country, if you work in a place like Super Value or something like that, and you're a shelf boy and you're working hours, your pay should be close to $500 a week. If you're working like the restaurant that accumulates a certain amount of money weekly, I think your paycheck could be anywhere from $500. And, you know? So to me, if I'm considering the minimum wage in the country, which is very difficult, even though we're one of the richest countries in the world, but there's a lot of stipulation in government and a lot of back and forth. And you have to deal with the business sector. You know, you have to deal with the finance sector and to see if you can make a balance. It isn't something you just could get up and say, you know, I'm going to increase minimum wage because, you know, the government has to find ways and how they can sustain can enough from, remember it going up from 150, I think, and then now it went up to 210 or 220. So they'd have to find ways on sustaining that. So even his current prime minister, he's being careful on his word because he knows very well it's a very difficult situation. We might not understand it as a citizen, but to get a a pay increase from $210, which is the minimum wage, to like $500 or $1,000 is very difficult for any prime minister. He'd have to deal with the banks. He'd have to deal with some expert in the financial sector. You know, he'd have to deal with the business owners. And, you know, if they go against him, if he say, no, let's try and increase it. The business owners in this country say they don't like it, and they're gonna close down the country, I mean, close down their business, then it's a problem. Okay, Kaimet, I think we have a call on the line. So go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City.
Accordingly, this dark and white, along with you, Scooch.
All right, good night.
Scooch, we need justice, law, and order in this country.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, Scooch, all this, your premise pertaining to the Prime Minister handling the finance, I don't agree with you. See, for the simple reason that this is a filthy, rich country, and it even doesn't have 500,000 people. People come in this country and they get rich off of the back of us. Just take for instance, right?
Go ahead, sir.
All of those stuff on the seabed, under the sand, right?
The aragonite, you know, all the stuff.
Oh, I'm speaking of things, you know, ships that are...
You talking about the sunken treasures?
Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People come and get them out of our waters.
How they get it? They don't get it from the Bahamian people. They get it from the Bahamian government. That's why I say you got to understand what I'm trying to say.
No, but understand it.
All right.
What you got to understand?
No, it's
you
what
you... Knowing that it is ours.
It ain't ours.
Listen,
you got to listen. See, listen again. You don't listen. See, this way all us go wrong. We always saying this, crown land and artists. You don't listen. You have the government just said about the crown land.
Government can say what it wants to say. Let me show you something. The Queen put it in escrow for us.
Okay.
Now, if you're not handling it right,
you're getting
it. You shouldn't be handling it. If you're allowing people to go in our waters, the Bahamian
people... Who is allowing people to go in? Who is
government
allowing them? Say Brave Davis or Hubert Minnis. That's what you got to say. That's right.
The government.
Right.
If you give them the prerogative to go in our waters,
mm-hmm,
and take the treasure out from which they found in, mm-hmm, our waters, and you're going to let them give you what they want to give you, that doesn't make any sense.
No,
because it's ours.
Mm.
You don't take less from them than they get for themselves. It is our things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We, the government, borrows billions of dollars.
You know who control of our things? The government in charge of our teams.
Yeah, but they're not handling it right.
Okay, so listen closely. I want you to listen closely. You're making sense. I'm not criticizing nothing you're saying, but I just wanted to put it in the context so you could understand where I'm coming from. It's the government. Go ahead.
Listen. What I am saying also is, right, the government borrows billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bahamian people have to pay it back.
That's what taxes
are. Even though half a million people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So who get the majority of what they borrow?
The government. Yes.
Who's supposed to get something worthwhile from the government because of all the taxes in which we pay and all they are running the country for us? Who's supposed to get things that are worthwhile?
The Bahamian people.
All right.
The electric.
That's all I'm saying.
No, we're saying the same thing. I'm just, you know, we're saying the same thing.
But the thing is, if you don't know how to handle this little bit of people and the richness this little people has, if you don't know how to handle it, then you shouldn't be there.
I agree.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. I agree. You know, but the only thing I'm saying to this is when we hear people say, R-10s. We can talk about the R-10s when we come back, okay? On Inside Inner City. So I hope you're enjoying the show. We'll be right back on Guiding Radio 96.9 after the break.
Represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
The Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at accessaccelerator.org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la.
We're back on Inside Inner City on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. We just had Bremen made some very, very interesting points. And like I said, I'm not disagreeing with him. The show is open for anyone who wants to call and express themselves. You know, I love for people to express themselves. We have a next caller. So I'm just, this is my view. This is not for no one else's view. This is just my view. Every time I hear people say about this Akron line or our Aragonite and our this And that's our land. All right? Forcibly, it's ours. Right? So-called ours. But every time I listen, I hear, in order to get crown land, it has to come from the prime minister. Now, Bremen talking about, he said that, you know, we need to manage it better. You know, if you have the power, you can help people, but you need to manage it better. And he's quite correct. But the prime minister has all of the land in his hand. And he decides on who gets what and who gets it. We just saw recently where the Minister of Environment stated that now, all this land that we're talking about is our land now, has been turned into a forestry. So we're going to have defense force officers in these areas, and there's no going to be no more squatting on these land. What we say is our land. So anytime we take up a step in the right direction, the government steps in. Why is Wayne Monroe, the Minister of National Security, who as opposition were fighting for the Bahamian people, right? And he was against that particular government. Now he is the Minister of National Security, but he's speaking out for the government, because now that he's the government, he have to defend the policies put in place that he has to follow. So when you said our land, no, it's the government land. It's the government of Aragonite. All this stuff is the government stuff, not the Bahamian people stuff. These Bahamian people who own is the government, the prime minister, who we elect, or the PLP and FNM, they're the ones who own this stuff. They have the power, not us as citizens, but our land. Stop this foolishness with our land, our Aragonite, our forestry is our own, and this and that. Listen, when you want something, you got to go and take it. That means Bamboo Shark, Miss Elaine Pinner, that's her place. That's her establishment. That's her one. The tennis on your foot, but you go in Huffers and Sons, what you wake for from 9 to 5 and you go by, that's your one. All right? So this foolishness, when I listen to me, poison, that's our land. That's that, that's not. We don't want nothing. The government own this stuff. All right? Government own this stuff. Stop fooling yourself. But that's not the Aragonite and all this stuff. Why? If it is our stuff, why we can't get it then? Our airspace. But we have to negotiate for our own airspace from the United States of America that makes millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars of our airspace. But anyway, I have a caller on the line. Let me get that 2 cents. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. Carmen, I think we get this caller. Good night, man. Good night.
Good night, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, sir.
I want you to find out, what does it mean when it says the executive authority of the Bahamas is vested in Her Majesty the King?
Oh, yes, Mr. I know that name.
What does that mean?
Mr. Thompson, let me say it again one more time, Mr. Thompson.
There is an article.
Yes, sir.
In the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, which is the supreme law of the land, which says the executive authority of the Bahamas is vested in Her Majesty the Queen.
Okay, so let me see
what
if I can...
What is this executive authority?
So let me give my 2 cents what I think you're trying to say, what is in the Constitution. So Mr. Thompson is saying that the power is invested in the prime minister, but the Queen of England is actually our executive. Mr. Thompson, I think that's what... I hope I answered right, Mr. Thompson?
No. You didn't answer me at all.
Okay, go ahead.
I asked a question.
Oh, go ahead.
The Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas says...
Yes, sir.
The executive authority of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas...
It's the prime minister right now.
...invested in Her Majesty the Queen.
Okay, so...
What is this executive authority?
That's the boss? Or who in charge?
I didn't hear that.
It's either the person who's the boss or who in charge?
What is executive authority?
Yes,
mean?
Executive authority. That means I know executive on the big Dallas, and when I used to watch the movies and they see executive. Executive means the person who is in charge or something, sir.
What does the Constitution mean when it says we, the inheritors and successors to this family of Ireland?
That's
what
us.
Do you understand that?
Yes, sir. Yes,
does that mean anything to you?
I do, but you're more educated on it, and you might can explain it. So go along. Explain it to me. Go explain it. Explain it. Not to
sure,
me.
That's why. You see, it's important that people understand what
yes.
they're talking. That's why they're so confused.
Yes. So go ahead.
I'm not blaming you for anything, because I heard what Bremen said.
Yes.
And I go to the Constitution. The Constitution is supreme.
Yes, but
there's nothing in the Constitution that says the Prime Minister is vested with the executive authority of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. No such thing.
So the Queen has it.
It says the Queen. So do you understand what executive authority
yes,
means?
Yes, I know exactly what it means. I just
what
was
does
saying.
It mean?
You just said it just now.
Huh?
Even though the Prime Minister has the power in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he has a boss over him.
Don't talk about the Prime Minister.
No, I'm saying he has a boss over him, and that's the Queen of Elizabeth. The Queen Elizabeth is his boss, right?
What does it mean when it says, we, the inheritors and successors to this family of islands?
Mm.
That's in your Constitution. Does that mean anything to you?
It does, to me.
What does it mean?
But Mr. Thompson, they want you. No, it's not me. You were talking. Not only to me.
You're the host of the show.
I'm the host, but it's to educate the people.
Let me say this to you.
Go ahead.
There's a lack of understanding in the Constitution.
Of course.
Even in the office of Prime Minister.
Of course. That's what I'm talking about.
The Prime Minister is the head of government.
Yes.
The Governor General is head.
Yes.
It didn't say the Governor General is vested with that authority, you know.
Mm.
There's a Majesty the Queen.
I know. So that's why I say would
so
crime
this is why it, when you heard Braman say what he said,
mm.
he must have been alluding to something.
Mm-hmm.
He might not have understood what he was trying
mm-hmm.
to say.
But I know what I was saying. I know the Queen owned these things.
But the Constitution says she has the executive authority of the Commonwealth of Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to change, then you got to change the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want? When we hear this aragonite and this crying land, we own these things, sir?
But listen.
The Bahamian people own these things?
Who are the we? Who are the we? We, the inheritors and successors
yes.
to
yes.
this family of islands.
Yes.
That's in your Constitution, too.
Yes, sir.
So how do you explain that?
Boy, it's a tricky. It looks like it's going. you
but
don't know.
See, but the Constitution is supreme.
Yes.
No one has really, the government of Bahamas has not explained to the Bahamian people what that means.
I always say these things. We don't understand our government.
No, we don't.
We don't understand our government. I listen to people all the day talking about crying liners. I don't want to. Listen.
But see, this is why anytime when I look at the way how this country operates,
mm-hmm.
I go straight to the Constitution.
Yes, you're right.
The Constitution is supreme.
Yes.
Now, the Prime Minister has a function, and I
mm-hmm.
describe his office as a gigantic octopus that spreads its tentacles into every
yes.
single facet of Bahamian
yes.
life.
Yes, he has the opportunity to make, like Braman said, to empower people the best way possible. Yes, sir.
Say that again? I didn't catch that last part.
Yes, he's supposed to use his tentacle, like you said, to reach and help people.
To reach?
To reach and help people.
Well, let's put it this way. The powers of the Prime Minister are extremely broad.
Yes.
There are no checks and balances on his power, you know.
I know.
The only way you can deal with that is through Parliament.
Yes.
But then if the fellow takes a position, you mm-hmm. get one chairman of one board and one senatorial position.
Yes, sir.
Or some ministerial position, he feels that he should be grateful to the particular personality who would have appointed him.
Yes. So he owes a debt.
I wouldn't say he owes a debt, but that's his thinking.
That's his thinking.
He ought to be loyal to this particular personality.
And he's supposed to be loyal
to... What if the personality steps out of line? What do you do? How is Parliament supposed to keep the Prime Minister, the office of the Prime Minister I'm speaking to, not a particular personality now?
Yes, sir.
Whoever happens to be in it.
Mm.
The point is, how do you keep the office of Prime Minister intact? To make sure that he stays in line. How do you do that?
He has to be transparent.
Pardon?
He has to be transparent.
I heard that word transparent from them other fellows.
So you're
this one being transparent, and what does that mean? What does transparent
It means being
mean?
Fair. It means being fair from the top to the bottom.
Okay, let me give an example of what this current administration is trying to do. This current administration is trying to usurp the authority of the Constitution.
Mm.
The will of the Bahamian people. Is that being fair?
Mm. I listen, sir.
The point is, they are trying to overrule the referendum
mm-hmm.
that the people said they answered as clear as crystal. They're saying now the people didn't understand. Did you hear them say that when they won 32 seats in the September election? Mm-hmm. They said they won with the whole 32.
Yeah.
And the FNM got 7.
Mm-hmm.
When the FNM won 35 out of 39, they didn't come back and say, you all made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
How come you all give us 35? They ain't said a peep squeak. They run with the 35.
Mm-hmm.
And the PLD got 4.
All right.
But now I've heard a high-ranking PLP talking about the people didn't understand or some other foolishness they went on with. The Constitution have entrenched provisions in that document. The only way you could alter it is by a referendum.
Yeah.
Particularly dealing with citizenship.
Yeah.
Now, they're coming up with a law which is going to cause a lot of problems for them. Big, big problems. Passing a law in the House of Assembly, a statute law, that's mm-hmm. all they could do, you know.
Yes, sir.
They can't change nothing that is entrenched in that Constitution by going to the House of Assembly, by going to the Senate. Can't
yes.
wait.
Yes, sir.
And asking the Governor General to sign it. Can't wait.
Mm.
It's fraudulent.
Okay.
Right off the top.
Yes, sir.
I can tell you that because I know better than that.
Yeah, use the Constitution.
If they want and they do not agree, ask the Bahamian people. They're asking us nothing, you know.
Mm.
They got some people cooking up something. I'm going to get all the details on it.
Okay.
And I'll speak to it publicly.
Yes, sir.
But I already know that their intent is to overturn or attempt to overturn the 2 referendum results that the people say no.
Mm.
If the people say no, then it's no.
Yes, sir.
You know, court could overturn that.
Mm.
You have to go back to the people and say to the people, put it to them differently or whatever you want to do.
Yes, sir.
But they don't do that when they win an election.
You see how
deceitful these people behave?
Yeah, yes, sir. It's all, yes, sir.
But this is what's happening. See, that's why people got to understand.
Watch
what your government says. Listen to what they say. Watch what they do.
Yes, sir.
And right now, they're making a big boo-boo.
Yes, sir.
You see it?
Yes, sir.
And it's not fair.
Yes,
so
sir.
I can understand that people say, this is our ragged night. All that sort of thing. I'm civil with them on that.
Right. But if they
all
only
I
know.
All I have to do is the Constitution says we. Now, we is more than one person.
Yes,
right?
sir.
That's we, the Bahamian people.
Yes.
The successors to
yes.
this family back. That's
yes.
in the document. But yes. it also says the executive authority of the Bahamas but is vested in a
majesty.
Chris,
so that's
locked into the Constitution.
So that
the only way you could change that
mm-hmm.
is by a referendum.
So we don't want crap, even though. It's also,
yeah.
We don't want crop. We don't want crop.
You said it.
We don't want crop in this country,
but
yeah.
But in the document,
and I read
people making all this noise.
And
as a majesty decree,
yes.
got the real power.
And Mr. Thompson, I'm not as educated you when it comes to the Constitution, but the same thing when you say vested in you, and I listen to when prime ministers get sworn, And senators and MPs, and I heard the same thing. So I went and I did my research, and when I get to find out, all this power still is invested in the Queen, even though we also is a part of the part of the system.
You're part of the.
No, I'm saying we is part of the system, like how you said, invested in us and ancestors
yeah,
and et cetera.
The authority rests with the majority
yes,
of the Queen.
Yes, yes.
That's clearly in your
yes.
Constitution. You got to have a referendum to change
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
That's the only way that could change.
Yes, and thank you very much for...
Yeah, okay. So I just thought
no,
I'd call
you,
in
you did a wonderful
that.
Job of explaining that. You is the Constitution man in the country. All right? So
you
I,
know,
wanna...
I don't be wrong with the Constitution.
No. I'm glad you...
I do my homework,
yes.
and I'm going to tell you now.
Yes.
That is what this current administration is trying to do,
okay.
overturning the 2 referendums. I heard
okay.
a big time PLP talking foolishness on the radio. Don't come with that kind of crap talking about the people didn't understand. They understood exactly what they wanted
yes,
to do.
That's
they tell you no is no.
Yes, no is no. Yes.
That's all to it. If
yes,
you
sir.
Want to change, if you have something to say, go back to the people.
Yes, sir.
But they'll be making a drastic mistake.
Yes, sir.
By trying to pass it because it's going to be challenged.
Yes, sir.
And it will be thrown out.
Yes,
because it's not waste. The paper is written on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But anyhow, Scrooge, you have a good night now.
Thank you very much. So you always do a wonderful job, Mr. Thompson. Thank you very much. Like I said, we don't want crop in this country. You see all this noise in the market? All right, let me give you a prime example. Carly coming to you right now. Let me give you a prime example. I was doing the Bill Cosby. I was listening to the Bill Cosby investigation. Caller, come to you right now. Just give me 1-2 minutes, please, and I'm going to let you come on, please. So don't go nowhere. And because I want to get your view. So I was listening to Bill Cosby. And they was talking about why Bill Cosby was put before or targeted. And after I continue to read, they say, well, Bill Cosby is now residing underneath Bill Cosby house. It's an Earl Field. So Earl is underneath Bill Cosby house. And when I listen, because Bill Cosby don't want to sell up the property and let investors come and see him when he Earl is there, they went after Bill Cosby. But what I get to find out is that here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and Mr. Thompson explained something just now, Vasted, and the Queen Elizabeth, she is actually our executive. So listen to this. If Valentino Brand buy a property in Carmichael Road, okay? And underneath my property is a gold mine, right? Now, the authorities don't know, okay? They don't know. But if they find out me as a property owner, who owned that property, what's underneath the ground belongs to the Queen. Yes, yes. The Queen owns the most landmass in the world. But even though you're living here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and underneath my property is a gold mine, and I go and I find that, and I start to go to refine that, I cannot refine that. It's just like the treasure that is found in San Salvador, where we have Defense Force officers today, where there are billions of treasure found in the Bahamas, and it's being found over 15 years ago. We have Defense Force still present today, and the reason we can't get the treasure in the hands to the Treasury is because the Queen of England is claiming the treasure is her own. So whatever was found underneath land still belongs to the Queen. So I don't know who, how all this big talk, but our crown land and our rock and I, the old people don't read the Constitution. And Mr. Thompson just explained to you who owns our natural resources. Yes, the Prime Minister can go and make a deal and work with the companies to give us a sniping. Like how they're working on a deal now with Iraq, and we work on the airspace. Glenis Hanneman work on the airspace, and now we're getting a little sniping back, but we're not getting the full value. Okay, caller, you can go ahead. Caller, you're on Inside Inner City. Sorry for taking so long. Good night.
Hello.
Yes, good night.
Boy, I was having a screech. I had to call back twice. I was on my cell
phone. Yeah, sorry.
His cell phone is time out, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But, yeah, Magada Walter Thompson explained it quite well. However, there's a portion of that that he read that I don't think no Bahamian really understands it.
Wow.
Especially cool. Bremen then. See, the preamble of the Constitution.
Yes, sir.
It almost like a promissory note because... Yep. Her Majesty is still the head of state.
Yes,
in
sir.
Other words, like you say, she owns the crown land.
Yes.
When the Prime Minister is sworn in, he don't swear his allegiance to us.
No.
He swears allegiance to the crown and her as a successor.
That's right.
Which means he operates on her behalf. That's
yes.
why it's hard for the average Bahamian to get a piece of crown land. He does with it what he wants
yes,
to do.
Yes, sir.
In consultation with the Governor General.
Yes.
Who, like Magada Walter Thompson says, is the representative of the crown down here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so yes, you're right, Scrooge. We ain't own diddly. We don't own nothing.
Nothing.
And Bahamians need to get that in their
head.
We don't own nothing. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Now,
go
something
ahead.
Magada Walter Thompson said, what Bremen always say, the heirs and successors.
Yeah.
Now, if you was a married man with 2 children, right?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And you got a lot of money and you got a lot of property. How would it be lawful, basically, for your children to claim that? You are the wife and the wife have to die, right?
Yes, sir.
In order for your children them to claim, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, other than that, you have to make other provisions like... Go. What the thing is we're trying to go to? Not democracy. What the other thing is? The former government.
Not
what they say they want to go to.
or Republic.
Republic. In order for us to inherit whatever the Queen got this sitting for us, we have to divest our whatever way that is ourselves of her.
Yes, sir.
We gotta cut her off.
Yes.
And then she'll say, okay, that part will be put in the Constitution where y'all had an inheritance and successes of these kids.
Yes, sir.
That kick in now.
Yes.
But it is in the Constitution, so nobody else could change it, like MacArthur was on top of the state. But they're not understanding. That don't kick in until the Queen them say that kick the inheritance successes kick in.
Yes.
Right now, we're on borrowed property. We're on borrowed time.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
That's how deep that goes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You explain it. I couldn't even explain it better than that. Very good. We don't want crop in this country. Yeah, so don't let anyone fool you up a crying line and a ragged night and all this crap. All that's a bunch of illusion. Y'all need to read the Constitution, understand the Constitution, and stop letting people put all kind of foolishness in your head. You know? Listen to when the Prime Minister gets swearing, people. What's wrong with y'all? But I crying line. Y'all listen to these people, but I crying line and this and that. Eh? Why you think them defense force officers over there, them police over there, them minister over there? Yeah, crown line. Stay there with your crown line. You better pray God that the Prime Minister and the Minister of National Security have a heart and have compassion, because that woman could be gone in 7 days. Okay, we're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City.
Okay, I called back.
Okay, go ahead. Now, we ain't have no competition back and forth now, Bremen. You could talk, but we ain't to that back and forth, because we ain't about that on the show. But go ahead. Okay, I guess the producer said it. Yeah, so y'all behemoths, study your Constitution. Listen, I educated as far as the 12th grade, but I get common sense and I could put and read between the lines. Okay, I could listen to when the Prime Minister gets swearing. I could read the Constitution. And when you say executive, when the Prime Minister got to say he served that the, what you call, the ancestors and et cetera, like the caller said, he does that. He swears to the Queen first. Then secondly, he swears to secrecy, that what discussing Parliament means with him and his colleagues, whether it's good or bad, it's confidential. Then thirdly, he swears to the Bahamian people. Okay? So don't let anyone talk no foolishness. Every time I listen, but crying line is our own, and this is our own, and rocking night and our own. If it was our own, why you don't go build one house with them? Okay? Why don't let a bank give you a loan? Huh? Or go out there and stop these companies with still manufacturing aragonite in this country. All people, listen, don't let them want fool y'all, yeah? All right. We got about 17 more minutes. Carmen, I think we take this last call. Let's check. Okay, Carmen said that's it. If someone else wants to call in, it'll be good. So yes, you know, I listen and you hear this foolishness, but crying line. Y'all people don't listen, eh? Huh? Y'all don't read the Constitution, eh? Y'all let the people get y'all riled right up and tricking y'all. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what y'all want. Go buy, work, save, buy one property, open your business. That's your own. That's your own. You work, you go, save your money, and you buy a car. That's your own. All right? That's your own. That's your own. Pretend you don't understand, like, how our government run and how our system and contract signed back from 1968, 1950. And 1940, those contracts are still warranted even from the 1800s, because there's no place in the world has an older parliament than the Bahamas. Not even the United States of America has an older parliament than the Bahamas. In fact, the United States laws was built off of the Constitution here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, okay? Before they were setting up in the U.S., they were setting up in the Bahamas, okay? And they were able to take that to the United States of America and Canada. So the Bahamas is actually one of the oldest parliamentary system, British parliamentary system in the world, all in America. So if you don't understand the tricks and trend, y'all just be going back and forth. Go out there and make yourself independent. For me, independence is this. We partially independent. So Lyndon Pillen said we are partially independent. Right? For me, this is what independent is. Just like how we say an independent woman. And we say when a woman is independent, she ain't no man. Because she can buy a house, she could buy a car. Now she could be misled and thinking that she is independent because the man still comes in handy. You know, you might be independent and it's a very successful businesswoman. How's your house? How's your car? You might have a couple of $100,000 in the bank. Yes, that's independent. But you still need a man. But to me, that's real independence. Because at the end of the day, she can deal with all her expenses. So for me, and when you say independence, you have to work for what you want and take what you want in this country. And that is your own. So don't get in this illusion with all this talk, but there's all this crying line and a rocking night. And that, listen, stop dealing with some things that you cannot change. Okay? Deal with things that you can change. Okay? In this country.
All right.
I said I want to talk about some of the, I get about 10 more minutes on the show. And I want to talk about some of the great programs that the government is doing. And one of them is 19 claims to spare, to share $45 million building program. The government plans to solve the harsh reality of family island healthcare by doubling the number of new and renovated clinics that will be overhauled by $45 million in development finances, Ryan Pinder said. The Attorney General, in addressing a recount public consultants on Eleuther's two new clinics, revealed that the government is expanding the healthcare transformation effort to 19 facilities as compared to the 9 originally targeted by the former administration. And I must commend the government for this because we have to be able to have the facilities and the healthcare clinics available for the residents that reside in these family islands. You know, a lot of people has to wait to be getting airlifted. You know, there's a lot of, you know, has to be airlifted. It takes hours, and we all know that time saves life. The quicker you get to the hospital, the quicker you can be diagnosed whatever your problem is, you know. So, yeah, you know, we need an ambulance on the family islands, you know, populated. You know, we need Airbus and et cetera, you know. Places like Andres Nash are supposed to have about 2 Airbus, supposed to have a few ambulances, even probably a small clinic or, I mean, a small hospital in Andres. So that's a good investment, you know. And they were talking about this Earl Exploration boss. So, yeah, we were talking about natural resources, and one, Bremer was talking about how he feel that the treasures found in our waters. Listen, the treasures found in our waters does not belong to us. Yes, it belongs to the Bahamian government, but does not belong to the Bahamian people. And if you look closely and you read some of these acts with this ocean exploration, the last exploration went on, I think it was signed by former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis. And before that, there were gold found in the Bahamas in the millions many, many years ago. I think it was under Hubert or Sir Lyndon. And where have that funds gone? Was that fund directed to the Treasury so that we can be able to give back? You know, but again, this is reflection that we don't own nothing in this country unless you own your business. You have to take what you want. You have to work, invest, and take what you want if you want to be independent, okay? If you want to own something in this country. Let me just tell you that. So don't let anyone fool you talking about our crown land and our Aragonite and this and that. Sounds good. But the power is invested in Her Majesty's Queen Elizabeth and her inheritors and her successors. Okay? So in case you don't know what that means, that trumps everything, because that's our law. And we, unless we don't understand, and the caller who explained it after Mr. Thompson, he explained it. No, listen, if you can't read and write, that caller who explained Mr. Thompson's interpretation and letting us know we ain't on squat in this country, did an awesome job. No. We have, what, so much more minutes? 10, let me see if I can run through something. So, why I say that? I think it's in Auckland or in Agua, you know, we found about $1 billion in treasure. There are two families fighting for possession of the treasure. But come to find out, the inheritance who really owns, even though these people have the paper for this property, the treasure is found in the cave underneath the property as the water reside. And some brothers to find the treasures. And I was working with Alanis. This was this is the second phase of Alanis. And I was working with them. They buy some tractors and they went to the United States of America. And one of the brothers was talking to us. And he said that him and his brother was going on the cliff. And when they went down the cliff, they saw an entrance. And because this was big talk over Atlantis. And when they walked on, they saw that the water level was low. And they saw this little cave. So as they entered the cave and tide was low, they entered. And as they entered, they started to see all kind of sparkling gold. Okay? And they found some, but they didn't continue to go in the cave because they were kind of afraid the tide was going to come back up. So they went and they took these small artifacts out of this cave and they went and traveled to the U.S. and they went and bought tractors, you know, because they invested. They was thinking. But not knowing to them, there were tons and tons of more treasure in the cave, and they decided to go and explore. And as they explore in this cave, this right here in the Bahamas right now, we have Defense Force officers still stationed there right now. It's been going on over 50 and 20 years. Billions of dollars worth of treasure found in the cave. I can't remember if it's Nagua or Auckland, but it's one of the old islands. And go on Facebook and talk about it and go look it up. You would see. And the brothers them end up removing some more, but there was asbestos because of the sea level and the gold being there so long. It's all kind of jewelry, gems, and et cetera. So they went and they end up getting stopped because when they carried the first set of treasures to the store in the United States of America, they got a couple well $100,000, but the treasures did weigh more than that. And then the authorities over there started to ask questions. So by them asking questions, you know, the guys listed as behemoth. So there was some kind of investigation going on. And then the guys, I think the U.S. and the Bahamas government get together, and they did exploration on the property, and they went in the cave, put on their masks, and they found the treasure, and the treasure still is there. But they cannot do nothing with the treasure. The family can't touch the treasure. The woman who claiming, the neighbor, now there's a neighbor next door, she is claiming it as her property. So the family on this side is fighting for the property because of the treasure found. Now the government intervened and telling them that, hey, they're going to come to some agreement. But no agreement is being made yet because they're saying, like I tell you, with Bill Cosby, underneath his property is Earl. But that Earl belongs to Queen Elizabeth. You understand? So even a treasure is found in the Bahamas. We're supposed to be independent. But the laws and regulations still stipulates that treasure belongs to the Queen. And we can't get a dime out of it unless our Prime Minister negotiate. So these treasure hunters coming to the Bahamas, you know, they're taking the treasures, they're finding millions of dollars worth of treasure, and they're taking the treasure for the country. But our government needs to strike a deal. And we need to see how we could route that money into social service onto community development programs. All right? So when these treasures are found, and our government negotiate and see if we could work with the Queen and talk with the Queen and see if we could get a deal for the treasures found in our waters, then we could use that money, put it to not no consolidated funds. This could go to a food program for feeding the kids. This could go to for scholarship for kids. This could go for uniform for all the kids in the country, you know, in all private school, on public school, you know, this treasure money. This could go directly to helping the Bahamian people. Okay? Yeah, so we don't want squat dilly in this country. We don't want, y'all don't let no one fool y'all. You know, I don't want to call that name, you know, but people don't read the Constitution. We don't want crop in this country. All right? Even the host that you living in the Bahamas right now. Watch this. Let me explain. I read about what the Queen wants. And she is the number one. She has the number one landmass in the world, followed by, I think it's the Pope. All right? Second has the most landmass in the world. Okay? And like I said, if my property would I own right in the country, and the day if they find gold on my property and let me reach in the country and let me go try to extract that and see if I don't get stopped in my tracks, even though I buy this property, because the paperwork still could stay. Yes, Valentino Brown owned this property, but the Queen of England, if she want to, she can take that property from me because it's still her land. We only rent, like the caller said. We only rent. Everything we're doing over here, we're just renting. Okay? We don't want crap. But a raga night. Why? You always let people put all kind of foolishness in your head. You got to work for what you want in this country, then invest into your business, and then, hey, you own something. Okay? Don't let anyone fool you. Yeah, and the government is doing major investments in the country. You know? So I hope y'all enjoy the show today on Guardian Radio. And like I said, I'm speaking for the teachers. I'm speaking for the nurses, okay? They should be given a pay increase. $28,000 for the teachers, it's a slap in the face based on all the circumstances that they're facing in the country. You're dealing with at-risk kids. Teachers are getting assaulted from both the kids and their parents. Okay? They're underpaid. So we need to look at how we can increase the pay of the teachers. And maybe some of that treasure money that it's in Agua, or whatever the family had, I can't remember, that we are fighting to get from the Bahamas government, we could revoke that and put that as a way to increase the teacher's pay. The airspace that Glennis Hannah Martin, who I love, she negotiated for the Bahamian people, we are getting a sniping back. Maybe we could take that money and put that in investment to pay the nurses. You know, and then maybe the investment that the Progressive Liberal Party is doing, they have numerous investments all over Freeport, Grand Bahama, Andres, etc. Maybe we could revoke the money to community development or to housing. You know, so we have to think out the box. Okay? And again, we don't want crop in this country. We don't want no crying land. We don't want no aragonite. Okay? Work hard. Save your money. Start a small business. And then you own something in this country. Okay? Other than that, the Queen owns your stuff. So don't let no one fool you. Okay? So, producers playing the music. We completely out of time. And I'd like to say to the callers, you guys did a wonderful job. And remember, hey, the Constitution tells you that the Queen of England eh? It's the executive of this country. So the prime minister, eh? He has a boss. And this is her land. Okay? So don't let anyone fool you. Read the Constitution and stop letting people put foolishness in your head, but crying land is our own organized. Okay, I want more producers in. That's it. So we'll see you next week on Inside Inner City. Enjoy your weekend.
I represent Bingham people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, Bigger Bay, and Brown.